tonight. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. This is the question, which should come up on the screen. What time is it? Now, according to that clock, it's 8 minutes to two. And according to the clock up there, it's 10 minutes to seven. And according to my watch here, it's 5:30 Mickey Mouse. I put the wrong watch on tonight, but don't worry about it. So what time is it? That's the question we're asking tonight. What time is it for you? And tonight we're going to look at two verses from the Bible, one from the Old Testament, the bit before Jesus came along, and one from the New Testament, the bit when Jesus came. Two particular verses. And in this season of September, October, particularly when we're looking, last month we were looking at, it was a month, September, of welcome into the church and welcoming Jesus into the church, welcoming new people into our communities. And this month, it's thank you. And we heard that last week. It was all about thanking God. And we had the letter to Philemon last week. So the verses we've been trying to remember a few weeks ago. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, Ephesians chapter 3. And then we looked at a fantastic verse, take hold of that for which Christ took hold of you, which came from the book of Philippians. Thank you. Then we looked at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses. And then last week, we looked at the book of Philemon. I'm not going to ask the preacher what it was, but it was all about thanksgiving. This week, two verses. The first one's from the Old Testament, the bit before Jesus, and it's from a book called Ecclesiastes. Put your hand if you've ever heard that name before. Hands down. Well, you can see it's on the screen. Without looking at the screen, put your hands up if you can spell it. Aha! Ecclesiastes, one of those books you don't read very often in the Bible. It's part of for those who want to know, part of the Bible, bit of the Bible in the Old Testament, which is called the Wisdom Writings. And these are like top tips, top sayings, a lot of them from a man called Solomon, King Solomon. And the word Ecclesiastes is written in the Hebrew language. It means gathering. So you gather, it's a gathering of all these wise sayings from a man called Solomon. So this is a great verse. It's a very famous verse, and I'm just going to read this one out. Come on the screen now. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So there we go. What does that actually mean? To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. What time is it? Well, there's two words in this little verse in the Hebrew language, and they both signify the word time. And it's these two words, it'll come up now. To everything there is a season, time, the Hebrew. It's a funny language and it can denote time. And a time, and the word in the Hebrew means time, for every purpose under heaven. So what does that actually mean? Well, it's quite significant for us here tonight and for the church today in this city, in this nation. Because we could write it out like this. To everything, there is a God opportunity, a season, and a God moment, a time, for every purpose under heaven. What the writer's trying to say is this. These two particular Hebrew words, God's trying to say and catch the attention of his people by saying, look, there is this particular appointed time. And then there is this moment in time. So the season is a God opportunity. There's a kind of season. There's a not just a moment, but a series of moments, and it's God's working. Can you see it? And in that period, there's a particular moment when God catches your attention. So, like, you're at the gathering tonight, and you think, well, you know, if you're new, I don't fully understand what's happening here, but there's something going on. All these people singing, and guy at the front talks, and all kinds of stuff. There's something happening here. Don't quite know what it is. That was my story when I first started going to church. Our friends took my wife, Trish, and I to church, and they took us along, and I sat there in these kind of pews listening. It wasn't a church like, it was a big church, but it wasn't didn't have this kind of worship culture. But it was a great, very famous church, and it was big. A lot of people were there at this evening service. And I remember thinking, I don't really want to be here, but I'm come because my wife said, I've got to come, because the deal was with our friends who were Christians who were asked us to come. If we go, we'll have a tea beforehand, we'll go off to church, we'll have a cup of coffee afterwards, and then we'll go out for some food, and then we'll go for a drink, and then that's it. And so all the other stuff looked like a good deal to me, but I had to put up with the church service in the middle. So I thought about it, and I thought, well, I don't know. And then Trish, my wife, said, we're going. So I always do what my wife said, so we went along. And even when I was sat there, I thought, there's something happening here. I thought, there's something happening here. Keep my hand on my wallet. Check my watch before I leave. Something happening here. Seriously, I thought, there's something happening. I didn't understand really any of it. But I was certain, and that was a God opportunity. There was a season, so we kept going back and going back and going back. And I still thought, there's something happening here. And then at one of these services, the guy in the pulpit preached a sermon. And in that sermon, he said a particular thing. And in that particular thing, he was pointing out to the church, and he pointed directly at me. And my heart went, oh my goodness, beep, 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 bum, 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 bum. And so in that season of several weeks, months, years even, going along to this church, and then there was a moment, there was an opportunity in this season, but then there was a moment when God spoke to me. And that might be you. And that's happened to me ever since. There was a season when I had a great job with the phone company, and I thought, I'm doing well, I'm a Christian, we're bringing our little children up, but there was something in, I kept hearing this stuff about, maybe God wants me to do something else, maybe, and there was like an opportunity, and I could sense it, something stirring, I wasn't quite settled, and then there was a moment when a friend of mine said, why don't you go and be a vicar? I've hated him ever since, because I could have been the next Bruce Springsteen. My round back ovation guitar, I'm bringing it back. I could still make it, even at my age. But he said, why aren't you going to be a vicar? Why aren't you going to train to be a vicar? And I went, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that for all these reasons. And I gave him the reason. He went, rubbish reasons. Go and check it out. So there's a God moment in the God season. Do you understand what I'm saying here? This is what this writer is trying to say. In everything you do, at uni, at school, in the workplace, with your family, every single day, in everything, there's a God opportunity. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to your group. He's speaking to this church. And then in the midst of that, there's a moment when he says, I've seen to you, Alan Lamb. Now, that's me giving you as an example, Alan, by the way, you know, unless God is speaking to you right now, but he speaks to you right now. Are you new guys who maybe you've just come for the first time tonight and you're thinking, how do I get out of here? You can't, because God's brought you here and God's speaking to you. You'll see what it is he's speaking to you in a moment. To everything, there's a God opportunity and a God moment for every purpose under heaven. What time is it? It's time to listen what God is saying. Let's move on. 2, the New Testament. This is the bit after Jesus. This is the bit after Jesus. Old Testament, before Jesus, Jesus arrives, Christmas. New Testament, all the writings about the four stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the story about the church, Acts of the Apostles, and a guy called Paul who wrote all these letters and a few odds and sods, a few other people like Peter and others who wrote some letters. But that's it. That's the New Testament. And a guy called Mark, who was a young guy, he was only a teenager when he was hanging around with Jesus. This guy called Mark in the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark was a teenager. He was hanging around with Jesus. He was probably about 15. This guy was like running errands for Jesus. He was the runner. He got to know Jesus really well. And then when Jesus died, came back to life, and then went up to heaven, and the church started, this guy, Mark, was now older. And he remembered all the stories and wrote them down. So remember the stories when you're young. Remember the stories of what's happening in the church. Remember the stories of Jesus working in your life. Because then when you get to uni, if you're going to go to uni, you forget it all. Because you'll be learning other stuff. Never forget the stories of God. This guy Mark writes this story, Mark's Gospel, and he says this. Remember, what time is it? People are saying, well, we remember the Old Testament. We remember, you know, wisdom writings. We remember King Solomon saying there's a time for everything and a season and God speaking to us, but we've forgotten. And Mark says, no, Jesus says this. These are the words of Jesus. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. It's the same word. The New Testament was written in the Greek language. But the Greek word for time basically is trying to mirror the Hebrew word for time back there. It's the same word. It's the same root word. And basically it says this. The God opportunity has come. So God is trying to connect with his people by saying, all the way through the ages, there's an opportunity now. It's come right now. Have you got your eyes open? Have you got your ears open? The kingdom of God, the new way of living, the new value system, the new way of living your life has come really near to you now. All you have to do is repent. And the word's a churchy word. It just means turn back to God. The word repent means turn back. I'm going in this direction, doing my own life, got my own career, got my own future. I'll kind of do a bit of God stuff every now and again. But I'm going to kind of go in that way. Then something's stirring in you. It's this season. God's on the case. It's stirring you. So you're going along. You think, I don't know if I'm going to do that, what the other guys are doing. My mates are doing this. I don't think that's a good thing to do. I don't think I'm going to bother with that stuff, actually. A bit of sleeping around here, a few drugs there. Maybe fiddling my taxes that way. And there's something stirring in you. It's God. And and all of a sudden, you say, there must be another way. And you have a friend who's a Christian, brings you to church, brings you to the cluster, tells you their life story, how they came to be a Christian in Sunday school, in a youth group. And you're interested in it. That's your person of peace, by the way. And they hear this and then they go, I think I'll maybe just turn and see what God's about. And then they see God. And they hear the heavenly music go, ah, ah, ah. And the clouds part. And it's a Monarch airline jet, which is no longer flying. So there we go. It's a God opportunity. It's come near. Repent, turn to God, and believe again there is another way to live your life. That's what happened in my life. What time is it? Now, I would like you to turn to the person next to you for just for a minute or two. Have you ever experienced something like that? Have you ever experienced? Maybe me speaking about it and articulating this has stirred something in you. Have you ever experienced something where you go, maybe that's God. Maybe I do remember that was God speaking to me. I remember being stirred to think another. I remember, yeah, I came along to the youth group because my mates were going. I'm thinking, well, it's a bit daft, this. But and then you get there and you think, well, it's something different. Or you come along to church as your student, or in the workplace, somebody spoke to you. Have you ever had that God moment when you know God is speaking? Or you are a Christian and you're going along nicely in your life, you're coming to church, but God's speaking to you about something particular, change of direction, changing your career, changing whatever you do. Turn to the person next to you now, just a minute. Have you had something like that? Get the cogs, that's the cogs in your brain going, okay, off you go. Have you had a moment like that? Okay. Now, a lot of buzzing going on there. Give me a show of hands if you can recognize what I've just been speaking about. Might not be for everyone, but if you can recognize what I'm speaking about there. Put your hands in the air if you can recognize those God moments, those God seasons, Keep your hands in the air, please. Don't let go. Yeah, all right, mate, all right. Just keep your hand in the air. Keep your hand in the air until the blood starts running from your fingers and your arm starts to ache. Keep your hand in the air. No half-hearted arms in the air. None of this kind of stuff. Arm in the air. That's good. Rest your arms now. So, what time is it? Bringing this into land. I'm going to show you a little clip on the screen in a minute. Film clip. What time is it? What is God saying to us tonight on this Colossus Sunday? As individuals, as young people at school or in uni or in the workplace or people with families and young children or teenagers or older members of the church family who are here, what is God saying to us? What? He's saying this. What time is it for you? What time is it? What season are you in? Is God calling you to make a choice, a decision, a turning back to Him, changing the course of your life, changing your career? What is God saying? Well, I would like to suggest these three things which are going to come on the screen as a starter for 10 if you can't think of anything. The first thing is this. It's time to turn and believe. Repent and believe, it says in the Bible. Repent means turn. It's time, always time for us. Maybe for some here, it's time to turn and believe for the first time ever in your life. Well, you could do that tonight. You can come to the front. We'd love to pray for you. And tonight you could become a Christian and say, it was on that night. It was in that moment God put his finger on my life in that church gathering at St. Thomas Crooks. That's when I became a Christian. I was never sure up to this point. Maybe I went to Sunday school. Maybe I went to the youth group. Maybe I've been to church a few times. Maybe I've never been before. But at that moment, something stirred in me and I took a step. Maybe it's something else in your life where you need to turn back to God and start to believe again. I was talking today with Tricia, my wife. There's about 1,000 people in this church, adults and children, and which is amazing, truly amazing in these 6 church communities. You know, you're in one of them if you're in a community, young adults, families, and all that kind of stuff. And that's in a culture in South Yorkshire where the church attendance is 1.6%. In other words, 1.6 out of every 100 people you see on the street go to church on Sunday. 1.6. You can't miss the 0.6 person. They look strange. 1.6%. If you're at Hallam, you'll know this, that we did some surveys recently. We're about 62 students in Hallam are Christians. So our fantastic student team contacted all the churches that we knew and all the ones we didn't to find out how many students went from Hallam to their church. Because we know all the churches, so we checked it all out. And we had to check it 3 times. 62. When I shared this with a hierarchy in the Church of England, I'm an Anglican vicar, and one of them said to me, wow, 62. So 62 go to your church. I said, no. 62 go to any church. Oh, so 62 go to Church of England churches. No. Watch my lips. 62 go to any church in South Yorkshire. How many students at Sheffield Hallam? 24,500 undergraduates, and then there's postgrads and staff. 30-odd thousand. But 24,500 undergrads. 62. That we know of are Christians. Okay, bad counting, 100. Okay, it's a good day, 150. Okay, let's make all the numbers up now, 200. It's nowhere near that. Do you know what? 1.6% of our nation go to church on a Sunday. When I was ordained many years ago, well, not that long ago, but yeah, several years ago, well, more than several years ago, it was over 12 people out of every 100, nearer 13. 13 out of every 100 went to church in less than 30 years. That's gone to 1.5. Do you know what? We've forgotten how to believe again. We've forgotten how to believe. People don't know how to believe in Jesus anymore. We've forgotten how to do it because we've just forgotten. You know, if you don't exercise and move muscles, they atrophy, they just stop moving. And so you just don't move. And when somebody starts to get you moving again, if you've ever been to the gym, you're going, you want to kill that person. Your personal trainer, you want to kill them. And they're saying, it's doing you good, it's not doing me good. Well, it's like that in the church. And so when God starts to stir the church up, because they've forgotten how to believe, because the church is the herald of the message of Jesus. If the church doesn't believe that God can do this, that it's time again for God to do things, then the world won't believe, because we're the ones who believe. So we've got to start to believe it again ourselves. When we're in worship, we should be the ones who are going for it. Absolutely. We should be singing our hearts out. We should be getting blood loss from our fingers down our arms as we have our arms in the air. We should be doing a bit of jigging, a bit of dancing. Oh, me back, what's happened there? Get healing at the end. We should really believe this stuff. But I'm not an extrovert. I don't care. Do it in an introvert way then. You know? And what God's doing, that's why we put the podcast up and all that stuff. God wants to teach us in this church how to believe again. How to keep turning back to Him and believing again. Believing this gospel which can change lives, communities, families, nations. When I came here in 2001, this church was really being stirred up by the previous leader, Mike Breen. And I remember a group of students. It was all kind of the thing at the time. A group of students were so fired up by God, they said to the then leader, we want to do something about it. He went, oh, okay, low control, high accountability. I'm not telling you what to do. Go and do it. Be accountable for it, though. Don't do anything too wacky and, you know, illegal. And they went, of course we won't. Trust us. So what they did, anybody remember the TV program? It's on, you can get it on Dave now. I don't mean Dave as in Dave Saxon, but the TV program, you know, the channel. Friends. You remember Friends? Put your hand up if you remember Friends. Oh, so cool. What they did, they got an IKEA settee clip-on and they took it into town like that, creeping like that. And they went in the Peace Gardens. Who knows where the Peace Gardens are? Hands up. They plonked it in the middle of the Peace Gardens. And they all, you know, like the Friends photo, they all sat on it like this. And they had photographs taken and they didn't get permission from anybody. So the men in suits came round. Hello, what are you doing here? You got no official permit to have your photo taken and look happy. We're from the church and we're telling people it's time to come back to God. You've got no official permission to tell people to come back to God and smile. Stop smiling, stop looking happy. This is Sheffield. And basically, turn and believe. The vision of this church was to call a city back to God. It was going in one direction, the city of Sheffield. People weren't coming to church. And so the vision of this church, this particular church, was to call a city to turn again back to God, the God who had created them. And the great stirring, lots of older people got involved in that. But it was the students at the universities got the settees, went in the Peace Gardens, got the photo. They did all kinds of stuff. And in the end, buses, who remembers a bus? They had photos taken, these photos, and they made, you know, instead of movies on the side, you know, when you see advertised, they had university students from this church on a settee in the Peace Gardens going, and on the top it said, come to church. Come to church. And it was on all loads of buses driving around Sheffield. There was a real stirring. You know why? Because the time was now. What time is it? It was time to ask people in Sheffield to turn and believe again. And it was you lot who did it. You university students and you lot, wherever you are. And then the young adults got on board. And the youth got on board, started doing it in their schools. And it all started kicking off. It was such fun. It was wonderful. Turn and believe. The second thing we need to do, if we're going to do that, it has to be based on this. Thank you. We need to thank God for what he's done in our life. The reason we don't do stuff like this, we've nothing to thank God for. If you're down and depressed and in the dumps and God turns your life around, you want to say thank you. If you have no hope and no future and then God turns your life around, you want to say thank you. If you're doing stuff you shouldn't have been doing and God turned your life around, you want to say thank you. If God gives you a relationship, that's great, say thank you. Gives you a family, that's great, say thank you. Gives you a cluster and a small group, you say thank you. Puts clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet, food on the table, roof over our head. We say thank you, God, thank you. We've forgotten how to believe. We've forgotten how to say thank you. The church has forgotten how to say thank you. When you get children, as we heard last week from Bryony in the morning, it was a great sermon, listen to it. Trying to teach our children to say thank you is like trying to pull teeth out of their head. What do you say? Here's a sweet. What do you say? Give it me. No. What do you say? It's mine. No. What do you say? Nothing. No. What's the word? It's thank you. Say thank you. Won't. Say thank you. I'm not going to do it. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. You're not going to have this sweet. I don't care. I'll steal it later. I'll get the sweet, parents, one way or the other. It's a kind of thing. It's like that with God. I've met so many adults, not just young people, but adults in the church as well, who cannot say thank you. Just cannot say thank you. It's like an impossible thing to say thank you. Once you say thank you, something's released in you. Once we start to thank God. So with this church, when we say, let's stand up now and thank God. Let's say thank you for the clothes on our backs. We keep on at it all the time. Why? Because we're disciples, we're learners, we're apprentices, and God is trying to teach us to say thank you. Because then we model that in our workplace and in our families and in our schools, in our universities. We're the thank you people. We thank people. We thank people in the supermarkets. We thank people who serve us. We thank people who help us. We thank people all the time. We live in a culture that doesn't say thank you. We live in a culture that demands service. We live in a culture of expectation. Why should I thank them for doing that? It's their job. Why should I thank them? Because they're human beings. That's why. Why should I thank God? I deserve this. Nothing to do with God. It is. He provides it all. Well, all right. Why does he want to say thank you if he's God? Thank you. This church has been built on thanksgiving. It's time to turn and believe. And it's time to really get a spirit of thank you. And the final thing, I'll show you this clip. It's time to pray. When you look around this church now, this evening gathering, and the same in the mornings next week. This is not cheap. This has cost a lot of people dearly, this church. The foundations of this church have withstood, I don't mean the physical ones, but the spiritual ones, onslaughts of liberalism, of people who have been anti what we're trying to do, of bringing the gospel of Jesus. It's withstood so much. Because this church has prayed, and it's been built on the shoulders of giants who prayed and prayed and prayed, who prayed for hours, who've come to early prayer meetings, who've stayed on and kind of stayed at late night prayer meetings, of students who were students and now young adults and older adults who came to the half nights of prayer, of teenagers who've done that. This is not cheap. And I will not let this church, while I'm leader, have anything that's cheap. I will not let, while I'm the leader, people to come and consume and say, well, I can take it or leave it, church. Because people have given their lives and sacrificed so much of their future to build something here. for you. The people have sacrificed so we can have now an opportunity from God to seize hold of and see changes. Built on prayer. I knew I was going to speak longer tonight, so I really want to encourage us. It's time to turn and believe again. And it's time to say thank you to God for his goodness in our lives, and it's time to start praying again.